Hello and welcome into the program. My name is Jay McFarland. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us. Today, I am super excited to introduce you to some upcoming technology that I consider to be a game changer, and I don't use that term very often when it comes to your health. Imagine if you could create a digital human being and you could use that human being to test any new medications or drugs, and you know instantly using artificial intelligence how the body's going to react. And then imagine being able to create that digital medical patient that represents you and your DNA. So when you go to the doctor's office, they know how you're going to respond to that medication. Not only that, they know how you're going to respond to that illness. Does that sound too good to be true? Well, I thought so too, and that's why I wanted to bring on some folks at GATC Health. This is Ty Lam. He is the COO, and Ian Jenkins, the Chief Science Officer. I want you to hear about their technology and that what I've described to you, this digital human being, is very real, and it is coming to a doctor's office near you, hopefully pretty soon. All right, I'm very excited to have you both on and to talk about GATC Health. And I thought I'd start with you, Ty. Can you just give me a description, just for our listeners, what GATC focuses on?
Yeah, sure. GATC Health is think of us as an advanced AI technology company using advanced AI as a platform and using some accelerated science methodology to do really a couple of key things. One is to create a digital human environment, if you will, to predict, one, what risks or health opportunities could manifest at an individual level, and two is to take a broad set of data and actually accelerate the entire drug discovery process and the production of innovative drugs that are much more accurate and fast to market than what's currently available today.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is because the pandemic has turned everybody into an epidemiologist. Suddenly we're all experts on testing, on vaccines and how long vaccines should take and, you know, all of those things. And so I would love to see some systems like yours come into play where people can gain some more confidence in what's going on with their testing. But I'm also fascinated, and maybe Ian, you can talk about this. I'm fascinated with the idea of knowing how somebody's going to react to medication before they receive it or react to an illness before they get the illness. And is that what you guys are focusing on?
100%. Yep, absolutely. So we've taken an approach to make an unbiased system that really assesses the individuality. And we can overlay that with all of the other kind of bio components, the reactions that take place within the body to give a much more clear picture of what will likely happen in the future. So
does that mean like you could project if I'm the type of person, if I got COVID, then I have a much higher chance of being hospitalized or having more severe symptoms than somebody else? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So what we've done is we've assessed the kind of individuality of a broad scope of people. As you probably know, with COVID, we have more data than probably any other disease I've seen in my lifetime. You know, we're bringing in data from everywhere. It really is a good opportunity for more robust systems like ours to assess multiple biosample types, right? So we can look at things like changes in the blood and the proteins, right? And the interactions, the outcomes. You know, we're looking at things like autoantibodies, and we're able to take this broad system and use artificial intelligence to model it. And then you can model the individuality, right? And with that, we can then take a single biosample. In this case, you know, we were looking at DNA, right? But on top of that, we have looked at things like epigenetics and RNA and transcription and protein, right? But the idea is you can assess or translate how someone's individuality based on their DNA may change an outcome to a disease. So in this case, you may look at things like, you know, how your body may react initially to some of the kind of sneaky portions of that virus, right? Because everyone's innate immune response will react slightly differently, as well as their adaptive immune response based on the differences in the major histocompatibility complex. To put that simply, the uniqueness of the individual is very determinant of the outcome, as well as their state going into that process. So there are things on top of the DNA that we add to improve the richness of the data source. In some cases, like weight, current physical fitness type, there are blood samples and blood results we can input onto it. But we found a way to be very accurate with a simple mouth swap. And we really think that this is the kind of future of where this kind of technology is headed, right? That we can take a single biosample, we can assimilate that into a broader pool of data to predict and run simulations on your body and your individuality.
Well, I really think this is a game changer as I think about it. Right now, people are trying to assess, you know, with the current pandemic, but I think in any situation, what is my individual risk factor? You know, do I have comorbidities? And it's very hard for doctors to identify. And I feel like sometimes with my doctor, we're just trying things, you know, to see what works best for my system. So I go in, he gives me a prescription, we try something, and then I report back in a month. And then, you know, he's trying to figure out what works best for me. If we could do that in a different way, and he could know just from a mouth swab, more specifically what would work, I just feel like that changes the whole medical industry.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the goal. Interesting thing, you know, doctors do a lot, and I'm just so impressed with what they do with how little they have. I mean, think about some of these telemedicine visits. They're just looking at you across the screen and trying to assess, you know, what's wrong with you and listening to what you say. You know, we give them much more powerful tools to really act more quickly, right? So if we can look at how a drug may affect you individually, they're not deciding between five drugs and a different dose. We can assess that before they ever go in, and they know the high likelihood components of what's going to help you. And so the future of this is certainly is, you know, that swab or that blood test is much more meaningful to the doctor. And we have, you know, simulation or neural net based insights for that doctor that enhance their capabilities. As you know, in the market, and your doctor may be better than most, some doctors will never get to that point where they get multiple opportunities with the same patient. Mm. In some cases, you know, average of 6 minutes interacting with a patient. And there's not a lot that doctor can do because they're compressing the time to kind of manage the costs of patient-doctor interactions. This technology really should enhance that. Any time you can get with that doctor, this should enhance it tremendously. So with the case of things like psychotropic drugs, often 6 months to a year, you know, in many cases, the data sets I've seen, it takes a very long time to get someone dialed in with that right kind of drug combination. And in some cases, they never really reach that with a patient. Our goal is really to eliminate that entire process. So with things like COVID, things like, neurological and psychological disorders, we hope to eliminate, you know, the pain and the anguish those patients feel during that processing in that time. And we've made major strides in helping those doctors. And so far, you know, we hope to improve going forward as well.
That would really be something. Ty, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, at a high level, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk in recent years around predictive medicine or predictive health. And you know, if we fast forward, you know, the direction that we're heading as a company, and I think as the industry as a whole, is the way that medicine is dispensed today and health in general, it is unfortunately somewhat of a trial and error. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's population-based metrics that are put in place to come up with the best case solution. Well, that best case solution may work right in the middle of the curve, but there's people, the majority of the people on either side of the curve that are not going to benefit and maybe even have an adverse reaction to whatever that therapy or that treatment or that drug is. So the opportunity, I'm trying to remember, there's a statistic I saw just recently. Safe to say tens of thousands of people unnecessarily die every year based on over prescribing medications or misprescribing medications. So, you know, any doctor is doing the best they can, but if they have better information at their fingertips, they can do a better job prescribing medications. Conversely, on the other side is, you know, if we can use a digital humanoid, if you will, and do all the predictive analysis of how a drug would affect an individual, we can actually come up with a conclusion outside of the human environment. We're doing it in a digital human environment. So think of the positive effect and the reduction of risks that it can happen And this is, you know, there's this kind of aura around artificial intelligence. To me, this is one of the best things that we could hope from artificial intelligence is let the technology take the risk, if you will, and not the human, not the patient.
Well, and I also see a huge cost savings in for the consumer, right? For the patient, if I'm getting more targeted medicine, I'm not going to have three trips to the doctor to try and get it right. I'm not going to have to pay for three different prescriptions to try and get it right. And so suddenly that's tremendous savings even after insurance on my end of the equation.
Yeah. And just think about what we do for compliance as well. So, you know, Ian, go ahead, please.
Well, no, I was just jumping to say, you know, the benefit of what we're doing is twofold, exactly as you said, right? So in one case, we're actually using this technology to reduce the cost of creating drugs, right? Getting better drugs into the market much more quickly by using, you know, some of these mechanisms and these methods to, you know, both enhance understanding of the mechanism of action, so defining the proper target, the right way to treat a disease, and secondarily, creating drugs that are de-risked before they ever hit first-in-human trials, right? So reducing risk and reducing risk of failure early on is a major cost savings, and so that's, you know, something we really focused on. On the other side is, you know, assessing and addressing the individuality of each patient, right? Because those are two major areas of cost savings that just really, we haven't done a great job in the industry of doing that. And I think a lot of us have started attempting it over the last decade or so. And we're finally hitting the point, you know, in the last few years where we can really make a big difference there. So from a cost savings perspective, you know, there's technology coming on board that we can integrate with all the time, like, you know, remote monitors of remote EEGs, remote, you know, EKGs, right? Blood pressure cuffs, glucose monitors. These kind of components can be integrated and that data can be pulled back into the larger frameworks we're building to even enhance that further. So we're assessing individuality, we're assessing the whole human, and we're reducing cost by reducing cost from the system, right? So the innovation reduces the entire cost of the drug development and treatment cycle by creating safer drugs with less side effects that are more available and more individualized. So it's a whole process, but you're gonna see in the next decade, you know, a major disruption, a major change in the market where all of us kind of working in this sector are coming together to, you know, make people healthier and improve their lives.
Ty, did you want to add to that?
Well, you know, I think the thing that Ian is describing is it's inevitable, right? So there's this massive trend, you know, we can give a lot of credit to Apple and just the apps that are out there. There's this massive trend in terms of empowering the individual for their own health and wellness. And that's done in a couple different ways. It's done through giving them access to data, giving them access to actionable information where they can take more control of their health and wellness and get ahead of the curve, so to speak. And also understanding the options particular to them as far as any treatment or therapy. And there's many other aspects as well. In order for all that to happen, though, you need really good technology and you need a lot of data. And I put a plug in for our company, GATC Health, is that we think that there's, if we kind of take the industry in terms of personalized medicine and accelerated, more accurate, less risky drug development, there's kind of three big phases. The first phase is where we were kind of traditional drug development, where our medicine, where, you know, we were talking about before, there's a lot of data and there's this kind of trial and error process. Where we got to over the last, say, few years is using technology, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and other types of accelerated AI to accelerate and optimize that first phase. So the innovation is really in terms of technology and throughput as opposed to methodology and the way that we're actually addressing the problem or the disease, finding the disease and the problem and coming up with a solution. We think the phase that we're entering right now, and you know, this is the way that Ian and his team has developed our technology, is actually looking at it fundamentally different. How do we actually look at the entire human biological system on an individual level? And I think that's the future of empowering each individual patient in terms of their medicine and their health.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I want. My ideal And then you tell me how far away we are from this, okay? And this is where I think we're heading based upon what you guys are doing. I go to the doctor. I take the swab. I am diagnosed through testing with certain things. When I go to the pharmacy, it's not all of these different pills. It's just a printer, like a 3D printer that prints that medication that is completely designed for me and my system. It knows what side effects I'm going to have ahead of time. It knows exactly what dosage I need. And so everybody's getting a unique printed medication to their DNA and their life. How far away are we?
So from a time frame, that's a good question. The 3D printing technology, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Interestingly, we have worked on projects to predict your molecular change. They could make, you know, a small group of molecules that's completely customized to an individual. So on the technology side, we're getting close, and we're getting really close. Being able to physically print that in some kind of economically feasible manner.
Yeah.
Hopefully within our lifetimes. Hopefully we're there.
I know it's more like Star Trek, you know, like a drug replicator, but I feel like once you have AI able to tell you exactly what that medication should be for that person, that's the first step. That's where you guys are. And then the next step is how do we turn this into, you know, into a printer or whatever else?
But there are people.
Yeah, and, you know, let's not forget, you know, kind of use GATC Health's model as an example, and I would assume other companies would follow the same suit, is that any recommendations or any reports that we generate outside of maybe a general health and wellness, but any kind of report that we would generate would actually be a tool that a physician would use to prescribe and support that individual. So there's always that, you know, sometimes I hear there's a fear of, oh my gosh, AI is going to determine what drug I should take. No, AI is actually in GATC Health's platform gives much more robust, timely, personalized information to the physician so they can do a better job of treating the patient.
Got it. What, and you were going to add to that, Ian?
I was just saying that, you know, it's interesting you brought that model into it, because it's actually, you know, our company, our platform, you know, we're kind of future pacing in some ways to try to figure out how to do that when those machines come online. And there are engineers working on things like that. So some of our partners, and I probably can't mention their name, have some ideas on how to make that a reality. How close that is in time, that's a really good question, because the FDA would want to, you know, approve every one of those molecules going into the person. So there's going to need to be some major changes before that happens. But, you know, from a technology side, I don't feel like we're that far away, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, I love that. I feel, you know, I mentioned the pandemic before, and I keep bringing it up because it's top of mind for everybody. We, as patients, as consumers, we are conflicted in what we want. And I'll give you an example. If we are facing an illness, a fatal illness, and we learn that there are drugs out there that haven't been fully tested, but they might help us, we're screaming and clamoring for those drugs. But now when there's a pandemic and there's a vaccine out there, and they feel like it whips past too quickly, they're, you know what I mean? We're like, wait a minute, how could this happen so quickly? So I feel like we don't have a way to fully be able to trust that system. I've said to all of my listeners, I tell them, if we're any good at medicine, we should take less time every time there's new type of pandemic, right? I mean, science doesn't start over with each new medication. We're building upon our current knowledge. So how does GATC Health fit into that equation where on the one hand, I'm like, no, I don't care. Give me the medication now. I'm dying, you know, compared to, wait a minute, you got this thing through in 12 months. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, and Ty may be able to give a better explanation of this, but I think it's a two-pronged component, right? So already kind of in the background, you know, platforms, you know, like the GATC Health platform have really compressed the time in developing new compounds, new drugs, new therapies, new combined repurposing of drugs. But the people don't see that because it has that other process where as it comes to the front end in the approval process. Mm-hmm. So I think there's kind of a twofold answer, right? So one is, yes, we certainly are doing it. We're doing it better And everything on the science side, the technology side says, look, these are better drugs with less side effects, you know, better probability of success. And as they'll start coming to the market over the next 10 years, you know, it'll improve some of that process. But I think on the other hand, we've got to think on the second side of this, which is, have we done a good job of communicating with the public, you know, what we're doing as scientists, how we are innovating and how we're making their lives, you know, better and safer? Because the things that get all the press are, you know, oxycodone, fentanyl, right? Uh-huh. These kind of, you know, broad scale good ideas that became massive mistakes, right? And so I think there's an inherent distrust that's not, you know, as much, you know, as cultish as some scientists would like to make it seem, right? It's really that there's a miscommunication between, you know, us as scientists and the general population and technologists, right? So I think the part of it is going to be really the next phase of having people see what we can do, having it start to improve those lives. And it's just like you said, right? The people with, you know, stage four, breast cancer, stage four glioblastomas, these people who really just want to do whatever it takes to live, they're the first adopters. They're the people who are coming to us and saying, hey, let's work on something, let's make it happen. We just need to do a better job of getting that message out there and showing people what we're doing, because there's an inherent mistrust. And you know, I don't want to go into the politics of it, but there's certainly a political divide in the trusting aspect of science. So.
Yeah, Ty, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, adding on to what Ian just said, I mean, so for your listeners, I mean, most of them probably are aware of this, but you know, it's to get a drug to market, an FDA approved, tested drug to market, it takes a pharmaceutical company over $1 billion and 10 plus years to get that drug into the marketplace. The failure rate from any drug that starts that process is well over 90%. So less than 10% of the drugs that actually start that process even make it to market. So we're in a situation where, you know, big pharma has this kind of dark cloud over them. There's a dark cloud, in my opinion, as many people's opinion, is because drug costs are so high because of that economic problem. That model is broken. It can't sustain itself, especially where we're getting into a point where there's a greater demand and awareness for better pharmaceuticals to address disease. So what we're doing at JTC Health is we're not changing or adding any risk to the process. We're basically de-risking that entire process so we can get a majority of drugs to market with less risk. And we're doing that because, as Ian has described and his team is building, is we do a much, much, much better job of understanding the causal, the actual causal parts of the body that in relative to that disease, and matching much, much more precisely the solution or the molecule or the drug that's going to affect that disease directly. And by doing that in a much more efficient way, we reduce the timeline, we can predict any risk, therefore de-risking this from not only it falling off the project plan, but actually risking patients that are going to be trying it. So our idea here, there again, everything that goes to market is going to be FDA approved, but we're doing it much more efficiently with much less cost, much less time, and less risk to the patient.
Yeah, I mean, if that cost could go from $1 billion down to $500 million, or, you know, only 10% get through to 50% get through or whatever, I mean, that is a dramatic impact on consumers and the costs and the timeline and everything else.
And then how many lives can we change? How many lives can we save by getting that drug to market, a better drug to market that's less risky in a third of the amount of time?
Yeah, absolutely. Ian, do you have anything to add to that?
I think you've said it perfectly, but that is, you know, circling back to the question, that's going to be part of the communication to change the perception of what we're doing on the pharmaceutical and science side, right? These safer drugs that are really focused on, you know, improving individual aspects of patient subcohorts, right? So maybe multiple drug types in, you know, respecting the individuality of a subcohort of patients, all with the same phenotype. So what that would look like is, you know, there's multiple types of ADD, right? There's multiple types of OCD. How do you treat those people individually, right? Until we get to, you know, that beautiful printer that we
have. My drug printer, yeah.
Your gene printer. You know, how do we take that next step, which is, you know, how do we modify these treatments, go beyond the kind of small molecule dogma of one target, one drug, one target, to, you know, more biosimilar medicines that are more natural and safe. When you see these medicines come out with less side effects, when you see the, you know, major improvements in patients, then we can start having a real conversation, you know, where maybe people don't, you know, risk death instead of trust the scientists, right? So it's an interesting thing. And I'm, you know, I have colleagues on both sides of the fence on the vaccine side, and it's even within our community, for those of us who've been, you know, heavily involved in researching these and looking at the data, it's easier to see, but that communication is going to get much more effective over time.
Absolutely. Where are you guys at then with your technology to where it's going to be used widely and we can actually see it impacting turnaround times for new medications and reducing costs? Where are we at in your timeline?
Yeah, I'll start out and just jump in. We've got our, you know, the technology platform that we've invented and patented is working today, and we actually have our first drug molecule in that discovery phase process, and can't go into the detail about what it is, but it's a significant discovery. We're working with several partners in the industry. One company is Liquid Biosciences, who's the significant biomarker company. Another company, a chem lab. So we've got these significant partners and medical advisors that are helping us through this process. Once we have that one actually proven out, which will be early next year, first part of next year. This year. I'm sorry, we're already into 2022.
Yeah.
That will actually give us the validation to do that many times a year, and then eventually getting to where we can do, you know, 10, 20, even more drug discoveries per year. That's where that is. I think this year you're going to hear a lot more about how we're proving out and partnering with folks in the pharmaceutical industry to actually show the platform that we've created, that I and his team has created, is going to transform that drug discovery process. On the reporting side, as we've been talking around, as far as COVID and other types of, you know, health and well reports or other reports that we have to work with providers and patients, is we do not distribute those to individuals. We work through distributors. So this could be doctors, it could be health and wellness companies, it could be labs. So we partner with those folks, and they will actually handle that last mile with the patient, interpret the data with the patient, sit and come up with actionable items based on the reports. The other nice thing about that model, Jay, is that we do not, as a company, GATC Health does not get personally identifiable information. So you may work with your pharmacist or your doctor to have one of these reports generated. All of your personally identifiable information stays with them. All we receive is the de-identified data. So there's no risk of us actually, using that data in ways that would harm your confidentiality or your privacy. And I'll stop there. It's a lot of information, but...
Yeah, no, but I know privacy is a huge concern for people, so I love that you brought that up. Ian, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think that's perfect. Yeah, we are really a facilitator to improve the broader market. So in most of our partners, whether that's, you know, on the truly, you know, more research side or really on the implementation side, as Ty was speaking to, the frontline physicians, I think you'll start seeing that more and more pop up with some of our partners doing bigger releases. In some of the other countries we're in Australia, for instance, The public-private partnership with the government is accelerating some of that process. So you may end up seeing more of our technology surface in places like Australia and Europe before it hits the U.S. But we are, actively working here, primarily on the pharmaceutical side, improving the pipelines and the speed to market. As Ty was saying, we have one kind of lead project that's going to hit clinical trials first, and then we'll see. Hopefully, we'll follow those with everything else in our pipeline. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, as an example of that, Liquid Biosciences, who I had mentioned. So Patrick Lilly is their CEO. They're one of the largest, definitely one of the most reputable companies doing actually finding biomarkers. And Patrick, in particular, sits on the U.S. government's AI and blockchain committee. So he's very reputable in this space. And as you can imagine, the biomarker is kind of the first part of this entire process of drug discovery, actually determine where in the body there's a causal biomarker that can be isolated particular to the disease. And Liquid Biosciences has used a number of different companies with AI to actually figure this out. And based on working with Ian and his team, he's now abandoned those relationships in terms of the AI partnership and is working directly with us. So I think we're surrounding ourselves with really great innovative companies that's going to make all of this happen sooner. So this one molecule we're working on is getting kind of that dream team together so we can do that continuously and create more better drugs.
Well, I love it. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying one thing that's been really beneficial is we've been able to, with this, create new types of integrations, right? So there are other points of loss after the kind of initial risk is reduced. And those are in, as you move through these different phases in the drug development process. So for instance, you may have loss in phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. In some cases, it makes all the way through, but you have, a great drug with no actual good indication, right? And I won't pick on those people we know who are doing that, but you can actually use some integrations early on to receive data back and forth and do real-time modification in the early stages of clinical trials. So for instance, as the MedChem lab has improved integration with the technology, they can kind of make modifications during scale-up, use animal, cell, or vehicle response feedback, and make modifications on the fly to existing projects. So in that way, we're rescuing some of these orphan drugs, some of these indications that were too difficult to treat. So there are components of this that, can have been improved just from necessity in our current partnerships. And that's, for me, that's very exciting. It's one step closer to enhancing and improving these more rare disease solutions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to thank both of you for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to kind of add as our listeners are learning about what you do and how it may impact them in the near future or the more distant future?
I think we're going to look back at this time as absolutely completely transformative in terms of medicine and the ability for the patient to use medicine and of course data to really optimize their physical health, and it's almost like I use this word inevitable. Everything we're working on just makes sense. Mm-hmm. And really technology is finally catching up to this solution that I think people, including Star Trek, as you had mentioned, they've been thinking about forever. Why can't I take a device and just put it on Jay's arm and know exactly what's going on in his body? Well, we can do that with our platform. And there's no reason why this can't be done for every human being based on a simple saliva test, swab test, and give them the health that they deserve faster and cheaper.
Ian?
So I'll just say that, if there's a light and dark side to AI, we're certainly on that light side, right? Everything is designed to to improve human life. So it's a fundamentally different approach to a much larger data harness, right? So we're looking at things not how to enhance our marketing, like Meta and some of the others, right? We're looking at really how do we prolong human life? How do we improve the quality of life? How do we reduce the cost? And so it's a fundamentally different approach, I think, than kind of you read about in maybe Asimov's books as a child, or something we've seen on some of these scary movies. We're making major strides. I think there's an exciting future ahead, right? A future where people live longer, happier, you know, more fulfilling lives. And it's going to be done by improving efficiency using neural nets and different mathematical approaches and deep learning and evolutionary mathematics, kind of converging into a new type of AI. So very, very cool. Very exciting.
Yeah, I do think it will be interesting to see how people accept AI when it comes to their medical choices, you know. But I think if we can just help them understand what you guys have talked about and what you're doing today, if it makes the drugs, if you can identify the necessary drugs faster, you know, the side effects more easily, you reduce the amount of time it takes to test and to push those to market. And then on the other hand, in the doctor's office, you're using the same technology to make sure that you know of any side effects, to make sure that that drug is targeted just for you. I mean, when you speak in that kind of terms, man, that is powerful to think about. I mean, I don't often use the term game changer, but that is absolutely 100% game changing and life changing, quality of life changing.
It's great to hear. Well, I think that's definitely the one. Yeah. You put it better than I ever could.
So. All right. Well, fantastic. Such a pleasure to get to know both of you. If you don't mind, we're gonna stay in touch and we want to get follow-ups with your technology because I am just so fascinated by this. And I really do believe you're gonna change lives and extend lifespans and quality of life and all of those good things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you were as fascinated as I am with GATC Health and the idea of creating this digital human being, both for creating new medications and knowing what the response is going to be. But I'm incredibly fascinated by an artificial intelligence knowing how my individual body is going to react to a particular illness or to a particular treatment. I think this is just amazing technology. Does feel a little bit Star Trek-ish, right? But this is the world we live in, and I mean it when I tell you I'm going to continue to follow GATC Health and this incredible testing. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us today. My name is Jay McFarland, and I'm going to bring you some more of this health tech news coming up. And be sure to go to my website, jmcfarland.com, for more information.